You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, National Social Development spokesperson Anne Tolley announced a plan to guarantee work experience, training or drug rehab to under 25s once they've spent 6 months on a job seeker's benefit. I spoke to Anne about this and the controversial benefit sanctions in the policy.
Part of your policy package is to provide guaranteed work experience or training for those who've been on job seeker benefit for more than 6 months.
Yeah.
How will this work?
Look, so I've been really concerned for some time and talking with my colleagues. Once you get past that 6 months on a benefit, it becomes very, very difficult to get them motivated, and out into the world of employment. And what we're finding is that, there's some barriers to them. So this work experience or training, currently some of them do some training. We've got about half of that group doing some form of training. But it's really about identifying what are the barriers to them getting a job, and one of them is experience. So if we can get them some community work, some voluntary work, maybe some employers who'll give them, a couple of days a week work experience, all of that will help with their prospects of then gaining employment.
And you've announced along with this further sanctions for those not meeting requirements under the job seeker allowance.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, so what we're saying is, look, because we're going to put all of these young people under 25 who are on that job seeker benefit and that intensive one-on-one case management, which means we're looking at their individual circumstances, working out what it is that they need to have in order to get employment, and then working alongside of them to make sure that, we give them or enable them to get what they need, whether it's experience or to get off drugs or, whatever it is. So on one side we're saying, look, we're prepared to do that. It's costly, it's intensive, but we're saying to them, well, actually, you have some responsibilities too. So we need you to be yourself actively involved in this, whether it's taking part in the training or turning up for the work interviews or taking part in the drug rehabilitation sessions. If you're not prepared to do that, well, then we're not going to continue. The taxpayers aren't going to continue supporting you. So it's a sort of a quid pro quo.
Once people have had their payments cut by 50% or even fully cut, would this not drive them further into debt to survive?
So the minute we put into place a sanction, we will then we're then proposing to take over their money management. Now, we do that with youth at the moment up to 18, whereby we make sure their rent and their power is paid. And then they get a card that enables that we load up with whatever's left from their benefit, and they can use that to buy food at particular places. So that's in order to make sure that we keep them housed, that we keep them going and supported. That's only after four. We give them 4 weeks to comply, which is pretty good. And at any stage, then when they re-comply, then they get their benefit back again. Completely. So, it sounds a lot tougher than it is. We try and do it very carefully, but there has to be some consequences for people who are not taking up the help that the taxpayers are providing. This isn't a lifestyle. This is a safety net, and that means that we have some obligations to help, and they have some obligations to help themselves.
In the United Kingdom, for example, we've seen the deterioration of people's mental and physical health, with some people even taking their own lives due to benefit sanctions. What's stopping that from occurring here?
Well, we've already got sanctions in place for a number of other groups that are reliant on welfare, and we've seen 95% compliance with those. The reality is, and so we expect that will happen this time. The reality is, for most people, the majority of people, they want to be in work. They know it gives them a lot more in their hand. It gives them a much better lifestyle. They just need that extra motivation to get them going. So we don't anticipate that there will be a lot of people that will be sanctioned. In fact, we've seen sanctions had come down by over a quarter over these last few years if we've made more and more assistance available.
And sanctions will also apply to people who fail to meet drug rehabilitation obligations.
Yeah.
Ministry of Social Development statistics say that between July 2013 and June 2016, there were 466 drug-related work obligation failures. I mean, this is a relatively insignificant number. Are you making this out to be a bigger issue than it is?
Well, you have to understand how we came by those figures in the first place. So that's the number of people that have been reported back by employers to MSD when MSD sent them someone to apply for a job and that person has failed a drug test. So, yep, 460-odd failed a drug test and the employers reported it back. MSD doesn't do drug tests itself. But what we do know is that about three-quarters of our jobs that employers list with us require a person to be able to pass a drug and alcohol test as a pre-employment condition. And we have a reasonably large number, well, you know, 25% on a pretty rough sort of a survey, who self-identify that they won't pass that test. So what we, you know, without getting into us drug testing every single person, we have a reasonably significant number who self-identify they can't apply for three-quarters of the jobs that we have on offer because they won't pass a drug test. So they're the ones that we're aiming at, and we're saying, okay, you self-identify, we will then offer you that intensive case management will determine whether it's just a recreational drug habit that's going to stop that, or whether it's a serious issue or a, you know, really serious issue that's going to affect your health long term, and we'll offer you the appropriate help.
So would you reject claims that you're implementing harsh punishment for beneficiaries to shore up support from the right who are keen to see a tougher government stance in this area?
Absolutely reject that. This is about, because we've got, this is a true social investment policy. This is where we've identified with a small targeted group what are the things that are stopping them from getting gaining employment. We're not prepared, even though it's only 10% of people who come onto a benefit aged under 25 are still there after 6 months. So it's a very small number of young people, and we're just not prepared to let them rot on a benefit. We know if we don't get them into work, they could be on a benefit for anything, on average, about 10 to 11 years. Now, that's misery for them, so we're better to invest in them early and help them get into employment. Then they live better lives, and long-term, it saves the taxpayer a heap of money.
And research shows that sanctions, while they result in people getting pushed into more jobs, the jobs are often worse ones than if they'd taken their time. Is this policy prioritising people getting into any jobs rather than jobs where they'd contribute most to the economy?
No, we try to get the staff try to get them into sustainable employment. It's not about any job, it's about, you know, a start for them. Sometimes it is just the first rung on a ladder, but it is getting them into employment. It is getting them some support in the workplace. Most employers, it's expensive to hire people and they want to look after them when they do take them on. But it is about getting them the right job that's going to suit them, if they've got travel circumstances, if they've got children. The case managers work through all of that to make sure that it is a sensible job that's going to give them opportunities. But, you know, there's no opportunities for you if you're sitting on a benefit. The best place to be is in employment, and if you don't like that job, then at least you've got some experience that you can say to your next employer, because experience is often one of the barriers that employers quote to us. You know, we want people who've got a bit of experience.
The decisions on whether or not to sanction people are going to be made by individual work and income staff.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of process will there be for people to contest cuts to their benefits?
Well, there is a very robust review process, and that's open to anyone at any time. But what, because we are dealing with a relatively small number of people, we wanted to be able to work individually with them, and that enables, you know, and enable their case manager to have some discretion, so that, you know, because work and income is really very black and white in the legislation. Everything is very clearly differentiated, and there's not a lot of opportunity for case managers to have to use discretion. And as you know, each individual has different circumstances. So we're taking the opportunity with this to give that discretion to the case manager, that if there are things that are going on in that young person's life that means, you know, it's going to take them a bit longer to comply, then they have the discretion to hold off those sanctions and give them a bit more time. But if that person is really rorting the system, and we know that there's a small minority that do that, then the case manager has the ability to make that decision on the ground.
So around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.